Hey, I didn't get the memo. Is this a show we're doing in drag?
No. I'm sorry. I just forgot to change.
Goodness gracious.
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them. Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
Bon Natale!
We are the Wild and Crazy Guys!
Well, they're both festive, aren't they?
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans. Well, hey, Mark.
Hello, Bob. How are you today?
Mark, I am so excited because so many things have happened in your life and I need an update. So first off, and because this is the fan base, they've been, you know, just clamoring. And please continue to send your cards and letters, but clamoring to find out, first off, the pickleball injury. Are you back up and playing? Are you getting around? How are we doing there, Mark?
This is a sad tale. So the last time I think we talked, I was getting ready to go back out on the court, dominate the court like only I can.
Yep. The slippery rock.
And in my own special way. And unfortunately, I did re-injure my calf and tore tendon. So I'm now in 7 weeks of physical therapy. But I'm getting back out there, but it's getting better. Thank you.
I guess that
asking.
Explains that giant Christmas boot you have on right there.
Exactly.
Well, that's the negative news. Now I do know there was another thing we talked about last show, and actually just to reach back, let's go back to the first show. We talked about our sons and your son, Eric.
Yeah.
He came up, the football star, Eric, and then you talked about that there was a baby on the way, and this just happens to be Eric's first baby, Eric and his wife, Nancy. And because tonight we're going to visit Poland, and your wife, we had invited your wife because she's Polish. We're going to have her come in and join us. But then something came up. Mark, explain what happened.
I might need to give you a biological lesson because nothing came up. Up, but something came out. Okay. Yes, granddaughter was born a few days ago, less than 48 hours ago. So Lena Grace joined us. Gosh, she's so beautiful. I can't even tell you. And it's just fun. I mean, it's fun getting to see both our sons now as dads and watching the glow come over. Hey, and Nancy. The other morning, it's just wonderful. But yeah,
talk about the glow. You're glowing right here, Mark.
I'm sunburned. But yeah, it's so much fun.
Well, that is good. Well, we are celebrating. The only thing is, and I've been singing Lena to the tune of Lola, but I was kind of disappointed that, like, couldn't she have been like Festivus or Fanda or,
you know. Lena is a beautiful name. The Grace is the Nancy's mom's name. So there's some strong sentiment there. But we're excited to have her a part of the family.
Well, and you know, what's kind of nice about this show, we get exposed to a lot of different names. Some we can't even pronounce.
Most? We can pronounce them. It's just not whether it's accurate.
That's exactly right. And in fact, you know, you think about it. So we've been at this for a while. You know, I'm sure you're getting recognized when you walk down the street and people are asking you for your autograph and that. But, you know, showing all these movies and visiting these countries, is there anyone that's come up now that you say, you know what, I'd like to visit, I'd like to go there? That'd be kind of a fun place to visit.
Good question. I think there's a couple, really, quite honestly, right? I think going to Poland and the mid Eastern Europe mm-hmm. is on our short list of things to do right when we Great. Retire. I would say that the region that we're going to review tonight in the film, I think is one of my favorite.
Oh, that's great. What about you? Well, I was thinking about it. So I've been to Tokyo, which was, that was amazing, in Japan. And we couldn't really travel, I guess, back to, we could go to France, but we couldn't go back to the Middle East area where Aladdin went on. But the one that really struck me, and I've never thought about it, South Korea. Watching it in the tower, one, I was amazed just how kind of glitzy it mm-hmm. was, and the, you know, and all the different things that seemed to be going on. It seemed like a very happening city. And of course the whole K-pop thing, yeah. how fun that is. And I thought, you know, I've never thought about traveling to South Korea, but that was one I thought, hey, that might be fun to take a stop at. So since you mentioned Poland, that is the country we're going to go to tonight, and we'll get into the movie. But the one thing, Mark, we actually did get some fan mail. Somebody said, hey, really like your review of your movies, but I'd like to know some more things about them. So, you know, typically we cover the movie, but maybe if we, there are facts that we learn about mm-hmm. it. I don't think I want to get into how much money it made or things like that, but little trivia type things we might toss in, you know, because I even was thinking yeah. of some things like the one tonight, the movie we're going to talk about tonight has had five sequels.
What?
That's how popular it was. So let's talk about our movie.
Okay.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
So I'm going to do my best here with our Polish names. Our actors. So the movie tonight is called Listy Do M, which that's how I say it. It means letters to Santa. And there are actually five men and five women with intersecting storylines in this movie. So it's quite a bit of, you know, a lot of coverage of different people. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just highlight a couple of them that I think are good to know. Maciel Stur, he's Mikolaj, and he's the DJ. There's a DJ, a radio DJ, which I have to say as an aside, I just love the way that radio now is becoming so commercialized in that. Right. It was really fun to see a traditional DJ talking, telling stories. That was fun. But he's a Polish actor and a comedian, and his father was also an actor. He's been in lots of Polish films, but I did find an English language film that he was in, but it's a Canadian one. It was called Julie Walking Home. So that's Mikolaj. And then there's Roma Gasirowska, and she plays Doris, and then also Mrs. Claus. She dresses up as Mrs. Claus, and that's how you can identify her. Polish actress, and also she's a fashion designer. And she's pretty famous in Poland, and she also appeared in this big mini series. It was on TV about John Paul II, and it was a Polish, Italian, French, German, and Canadian all combined TV miniseries, and she was in there. I can pronounce his name. His name as the character is a little bit more difficult, but he is Piotr Adamczyk, and he is Sisypan. Now I refer to him here as the jumper, and as we go forward in the description of the movie, you'll understand why I call him the jumper. But he's also a psychologist in the film. He's a Polish film and theater actor, but he has appeared in some U.S. He was in the Hawkeye series. I don't know, it's on Disney Plus. I don't know if you saw that. Hawkeye from the Avengers had a series based at Christmas time, and he was in that. He played Thomas, and he's also, there's an Apple Plus science fiction space drama called For All Mankind, and he's been in that. Yep. And then again, like I said, there's lots of characters. I'm doing all the adults, but just so there are a lot of great kids in this movie. Really good kids, I think.
I thought so.
But this is Thomas Karolak, and he's Melchior. Also, I call him the Bad Santa as well, because he plays a Santa, a mall Santa in the movie. He's a Polish actor and a musician. So I can't find any English language films that he's done, but I did find out about his band. And his band is called, and of course, something that I'm having a hard time to pronounce, but it's Paxi Thursic U? Thursic U? They've released two albums and a single called Just Be.
Yeah, and he is a bad Santa, but he's not Billy Bob Thornton bad Santa.
No, no, he is not. And in fact, you know, Mark, I'll tell you about this movie. What I love dramedy movies. Dramedy meaning drama and comedy. Yep. I mean, because, and this one had it. I mean, as we describe this film, I'm sure people are going to go, oh my God, this sounds like depressing and sad. But I'll tell you, it has its moments. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get into it a little bit more later, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, it really was. And so we got Mikalaj, and he's working at this radio station. And the radio station is kind of the place that connects everybody. It's based around this radio station and all the people who work there. And so Mikalaj, he's a young widower. So, and he's raising his son, Kostov. Here's one of these kids who's really good. And Kostov really wants his dad, surprisingly, because you don't see this often in the film, really wants him to find another companion. He knows his dad is lonely and he feels for his dad. While he's on the air, he gets a call from Doris. So this is our first introduction to Doris. And she's lonely and she really wants a fantasy. She wants people meet in the movie. She really would like to meet someone and have a love affair like she sees in the movie. And she hasn't yet been able to find that. So she's complaining to him on the air about the lack of love in her life. And to cheer her up, he tells her this really touching story about his wife. So that's our introduction there. Then Mikalaj turns around and looks out his window, and there we see our psychologist, Sisipan. He's trying to commit suicide, jumping off a building next door. And that's our introduction to him. In beautiful Christmas or movie magic, he jumps off right when a Christmas tree truck's going by and catches him, and he doesn't even injure himself at all.
He looks kind of disappointed when his eyes open, doesn't he?
He really does. He does. But then, you know, shortly, so we see him there. Then we see him in his car crying because his wife is cheating on him in his own bed with the bad mall Santa that I'm talking about. And you also see, I think, some of the disappointing things in his life. He's got the sullen teenage daughter who doesn't even want to talk to him. And his dad who lives with him and I think has Alzheimer's.
Yep.
So it all seems pretty overwhelming for him. Cheating wife, you know, bad teenager and a sick father. Then we have Walczek, and he's this older man who sees a little girl at a gas station. We have just seen the little girl previously out with her. She's part of a child's home, and she's an orphan. And here she is at the gas station, and he starts talking to her, and he is married to the station manager, the radio station manager. So he talked to her. He leaves. When he's driving home, he's driving away and he sees her walking down the road, you know, and, you know, it seemed like a fairly rural where, you know, there aren't sidewalks and here's this little girl walking along. So he, you know, pulls over and says, hey, you know, can I give you a ride? Take you, you know, where you're going. And so, you know, gives her a lift. She's very, very cute.
She is so cute. Yeah. And so manipulative in the most cutest way.
Yes, in the absolute cutest way. Yep. And he soon learns she's going to the children's home, orphan, and decides to bring her home for Christmas Eve. And you can tell when they arrive at his home that they appear to be pretty well off. They're right. They're wealthy. But they also seem to be in a rut. The house is beautiful. The dinner is stunning, but seems very cold, very empty. And here you plop down this girl who's just would stand mm-hmm. on her head mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. get their attention. And even she can sense the awkwardness and that. And it's, you know, it's obvious that she wants to be loved, that she wants a family. But then we see the wife break down.
Yep.
And then we realize that they have had a child that has died.
Right.
So right away, we've covered all the cheerfulness we got. Suicide, dead wife, dead mom.
Cheating wife. Sorry. Where's the cheerful part? Yeah. It's coming, right?
It's coming, I promise. Hold on, hang in there. So then we go back to our friend Melchior, the Santa, and again, Doris, who's his helper and Mrs. Santa. And he gets his phone stolen by another kid who is a rascal, and again, very fun to watch and very see. And so he asks his helper, the unlucky in love, Doris, hey, I need your phone. He's calling the kid, threatening to beat him up. And they're going back and forth. He's telling him how he's going to hurt him and that. And then ultimately, they do meet. The two of them do meet. And it is surprising because of the way the character Melchior has been portrayed as this womanizer and, you know, mm-hmm. he's crude and, you know, threatening to beat up a little kid and all that. They bond.
They do.
Surprisingly bond. And they go to mass. They go to mass. And then he ends up he takes the kid home and realizes that he has this alcoholic mother asleep on the sofa. Another fine Christmas element.
but it's funny. I think they bond because I think the bad Santa is a little bit of a con artist, and I think he sees that in the child, and I think he starts to, I don't know, maybe wonder, you know, maybe I shouldn't be the way I am, and I can help this, maybe this young guy not be the same way. But it is, that was a part of the movie that I'd say was a surprise. Like, oh, I didn't anticipate that happening between them two.
I didn't either. I was really shocked by that. And what you describe, I think, is really true. I think he's looking at this kid and going, you know, I see a bit of myself in you. I see kind of where you're going. And, you know, it's probably not a good path. And it brings kind of out the goodness out of him. And he kind of now sees, I want to take this kid under my arm because he needs some help. You know, he's in a bad way.
Yep. I agree.
And then, you know, as if we haven't had enough, we got Waldy, and he's a successful single businessman. He has this thriving company, and, you know, he seems to have women that are willing to throw themselves at him, but he is lonely as well. And he's desperate to find a girl who can come home to meet his parents. You know, he has to bring someone home for Christmas, but he's such a busy businessman mm-hmm. that he doesn't have time to mm-hmm. to date or see a woman. And so that's, you know, he calls up to the service, I believe, where Doris and her friend work, like that rent out entertainers and that.
Yep.
I thought the characters here seem very authentic. And even though you're gonna, in the end, you know, you have all the things that you would find in a Christmas movie. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a strangers falling in love and mm-hmm. a snowball fight and a baby being born and, you know, an orphan finding a home and all of those things. But I don't know why it didn't feel fake to me. It didn't mm-hmm. feel forced. These people, I mean, some of them, when you first meet them, you don't necessarily like them.
Right.
Right. And they're really out there with their imperfections. But you come to see them as people, and you kind of see their motivations and why they are the way that they are. And to your point, yeah, this isn't a mini series like we described, but that goes over several hours. No, you got to do this all rather quickly, and it's kind of amazing without it being really forced.
Yep, I agree. I think great character development, and I think the kids, like you've mentioned, so many great little child actors, but they just add a little spice to it to make it funny, to make it cute, because right, who can resist a cute little kid? even a devious one.
And I, there are certain elements that you're like, I'm surprised that you find the movie as charming and as endearing as it is, because how certain things escalate, like the fight between Melchior and the kid and yelling at it. Or there's a scene where Sessopan takes his family out. He's trying to somehow go back to this family memory. Mm-hmm. They go out into the forest and the car breaks down and they're cold and they're mad and they don't know where they're at. And they have a pretty much knockdown, drag out fight where they're basically telling each other how much they hate each other.
Yeah.
Not your normal Christmas fodder.
That was a quick hard right in the movie. And then of course they're middle of a fight. And again, I think the way it was scripted in the movie, they're fighting amongst each other only then to realize that his dad is now missing.
Yes. Yes.
And so they go from their anger at each other to concern, all of them being concerned, the common thread about their dad, their father-in-law, their grandpa. And so they go and venture out to try to find him.
And so all of this is taking place on Christmas Eve, which is amazing too. It's all happening on one day and all these various storylines. And when it's happening at Christmas Eve. So when Christmas Day dawns, it's interesting because not all the storylines are tied up perfectly. Right. I mean, I would say in all of them, there's hope, at least. You gain some hope there. And in some ways, they're all very like lost characters, And at the end, I think they're on their way to finding themselves.
I agree. Right?
And you kind of, and this will kind of go into our test about what we think about the film, but you said something in the very first film and in the first episode, and I think about it in terms of how does Christmas impact the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And, where does that figure in and how would the movie be without Christmas? And this is one where it's almost like there's Christmas magic kind of underlying. And I mean, that sounds cliche too, but do you know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it is all about Christmas in this movie, and it's, again, we'll get into our ratings, but I think you're onto something where they're on the path now. They maybe have found what they need to do, right? Obviously, the couple who has been cheating on each other, and like one night isn't going to change all their woes, but I think they have found that deep down there's a common connection they have with each other, and so how do you build on it?
Yeah, and the sullen teenager, she's still sullen, but at least she's starting to communicate with them. And I think that somehow that there had some walls had gone up and now, they're starting to come down.
Yep.
Right.
Agreed.
So in the end, it leaves you like you've been taught, yes, this is, this was a great investment of time because I come away with a good feeling for all of them.
Yeah, I agree. It was a good movie. Like I said, the good kid actors, the little boy though, who wants his dad to reconnect, that kid is hilarious though. Like how he messes up stats, right? 6 out of 2 people do this, right? 100 million people will do this. I mean, it's just an endearing little trait that he has, how he makes up statistics to fit what he's trying to say to his dad.
But you need to watch. We couldn't cover all of it. And there's a lot of things in there that we haven't even touched on that were really fun little storylines.
Yeah, exactly. The grandparent. Well, I kind of resonated with the mom and dad who thought her son was having a baby by another woman. And they're so excited about being the grandparents and that whole scene at the hospital. I mean, there's a lot packed into this movie that is definitely worth watching.
Or how about the family where the grandfather with Alzheimer's, where he finds himself and how warm and inviting they are.
Exactly.
And that's a really Christmas moment there.
Yep.
All right. So let's look at our ratings. So Mark, Festive. Did you find this Christmassy?
Oh my gosh. The Christmassy of Christmassy. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It not only because it's occurring on the, you know, even day, but you got the holiday decorations through the whole things. They're talking about Christmas the whole time. Some of the traditions that we read about, we see actually play out in the movie. All of it. And the young girl singing the song at dinner.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, right.
It's
beautiful.
It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So how'd it make you feel?
I'd say warm, you know, happy. Again, a little bit at the end, totally not resolved from all the different characters, but I smiled a lot. Like, I think it was, I'm not going to maybe go into the future piece here, but like, I will watch this movie again. And it'd be one of those things where I would love to expose that to people in my family to say, this is worth watching around the Christmas time, you know, to, you know, lighten your heart, right? Because I think when you watch Christmas movies, I don't care what time of the year it is. Like every once in a while, like in July, you'll see, you know, Christmas in July, and they'll put a Home Alone on or any of the Christmas movies. I'll watch them because it's like it's there's a different feeling about Christmas movies, as we've talked about before. But this one is I would definitely recommend it.
And that, and you touched on the one thing I thought of too, this is a movie I want to share with people. Mm-hmm. I want people to see this and watch it because, you know, I like straight dramas. I do. And I like comedy. Sometimes they're all comedy. Those are great mm-hmm. as well. It's always interesting when you tie both together. And it's not easy to do and to do well. And I think this one really does a good job. And I do want my Christmas movies to make me feel something.
That's right.
And really like give you that warm feeling. And you walk away feeling a little bit better about yourself, about mankind, about the world. And this one definitely makes you do it. So I think we both agree on the future front that we would.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you said as a fan, you'd recommend it to people. You'd watch it again. What I don't know is whether I would watch any of the other sequels. You know what I mean? They're up to listy do M5. I don't, you know, I don't know if they just do different characters and new or the same characters. I don't know, but you know, maybe they're done well. I can't say. It just doesn't seem to appeal to me at all to do that.
Well, now that you've shared that with me, I may watch maybe at least one more. If they're going to continue to evolve some of the relationships, I might be interested to see where they take them. You know, maybe they cover all the major holidays.
Well, that would be really funny. Listy-do Easter Bunny.
Carrots for the bunny.
So now, Mark, I'm curious. Do you know how to say Merry Christmas in Polish?
You know, I don't. I don't. And again, you know, I think if Sue was here, she would probably nail this, but I do not.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to try this as my best Polish pronunciation. Wesowicz Świąt. Wesowicz Świąt. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Wesowicz Świąt. I'm going to say that and see what Sue reacts.
She might slap you.
Probably.
So let's talk about some of these Christmas customs in Poland. One of the things that's really amazing is if you look, they will take the country of Poland and divide it up into different regions based upon who the children think deliver the Christmas presents. So it's not necessarily Santa Claus, but you do have Santa Claus in certain places. You have Starman. You have Baby Jesus. You have Little Star, you have Little Angel, and Grandfather Frost.
So that's by region in Poland.
Yes. Yep. Different areas that they just... Now, I would suspect Grandfather Frost is Russian. So that's probably the areas closest to Russia. And Little or Baby Jesus, I know there are other countries that see that as well. So maybe that's an area closer to those other countries.
Could be.
Yep.
Interesting.
And another thing, and this harkens back since where you talk about Christmas movies, Home Alone has become a Christmas tradition in Poland, if you can believe it. Just like here in the U.S. where we will watch, you know, the Christmas Story will be put on TNT or whatever, that Turner Movies, I guess now, for 24 hours. They do the same thing where they will show Home Alone again and again and again at Christmas time. Now, they call it Kevin Alone in the House. But yeah, it's always been featured. It's been on TV in Poland for the last 25 years.
That's amazing. Although, you know what's really interesting, though, now that you've brought up this fun fact? So in the very, very beginning of the movie, the little boy who steals the phone, mm-hmm. he's a little mischievous. So you see him walking with 2 5-gallon containers of water. And when he's walking with it and he's got his head down, he's not paying attention, a truck almost comes and hits him. Think about the scene in Home Alone when Kevin is sort of walking down the street from the grocery store.
With the grocery bags.
Right? And all of a sudden the van comes out and almost hits him.
Yeah, the wet bandits, yes.
Yeah, the wet. So I bet if you put them side by side, you would see the same facial expressions, the same, like the two guys, the wet bandits and Home Alone, the other sort of, like, you know, they don't bring Christmas presents in heaven, right? Whatever he says, right? You should watch that in the beginning.
I wonder if that's like a little nod, you know, Easter egg or whatever, like to Home Alone. That's because now that you say it, and now that I think of the scene in the movie, I'm like, you are right. It's set up exactly the same way. Well, the other tradition is, so it's big, and this may be true with you at home, but Christmas Eve is the big night in Poland. It's Vigila, which is Christmas Eve. They have the big meal on Christmas Eve. And for some, not all families, but there is a tradition that you don't eat until you see the first star in the sky, and that is supposed to correspond and represent mm-hmm. the star Bethlehem. So everybody is excited and waiting to see that first star appear. 12 dishes are traditionally served on Christmas Eve, all of them meatless, and to symbolize the 12 apostles of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now this is where, and you saw some of this in the movie where the wealthy couple was mm-hmm. sitting down with the daughter. There was the reason why they have a chair, that had a chair there in a setting for her, is that oftentimes you'll have an extra chair mm-hmm. setting at the table. Now, I don't know. I've heard two things. I've heard it's there in case Jesus shows up, or it's there in case a guest, and you always welcome a guest in.
Right. I too have heard both.
Yep. Yeah. So, and the dinner begins with the breaking of a Christmas wafer known as the oblatek. And what I thought was so interesting is not only do you share it with the people there, but you tend to give it to your pets too.
Yeah. It's actually called, oplatki.
Oh,
that's how you say oplatki is. And I got introduced this when I was fortunate enough to get married into Sue's family. The first Christmas Eve I went, which really worked out great because her family celebrated Christmas Eve. My family was Christmas Day. But when I first sat down and, you know, everybody had their oplatki bread, little wafer, mm-hmm. if you mm-hmm. will. And they started, you know, wishing each other a Merry Christmas. And so it's like you present your oplatki to each person. Each takes a little piece of it. Some people dip it in honey, and it's a way to say Merry Christmas. But it's also, I think, too, in a tradition, it's like a reconciliation. Like, Merry Christmas, Bob, right? And hopefully any wrongs that we had each other, we're forgiving each other. But it was really, It's very special. I thought it was a very sweet way, and we still do it today. I mean,
two things in your description there. One, when you pronounce it, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so many of these words I'm probably butchering, and I apologize to everyone out there. But the other thing is, what a great, because the one thing, and I even think this with myself, we don't often stop and say Merry Christmas to someone and with a very heartfelt, meaningful, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we feel like we're expressing it in our gift giving and all that, but to really actually stop, look them in the eye and say, and when you describe that, I'm like, what a great thing. You know what I mean? It's a moment that you really think it's meaningful.
It is meaningful. And to support it, I've seen Sue's family give their Opletki to their dogs.
Yeah.
So it's true.
And I think, if you hear some things that we talk about and say, hey, I want to add some color, let us know. Yes. Because, I mean, what you just said, I felt like what I had on the paper here doesn't even compare to the way you described it. And what I was just tickled by is I love that you include, because pets are, part of your family as well, and that they have absolutely include them. That's great.
Yep.
Well, having listened and discussed all this, it just makes me so eager to listen to some Christmas music, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Mark, what I loved learning about the Poles is they love their Christmas music. Mm-hmm. They like caroling. They often carol at the dinner table. They sing songs, which that's great. That's one of those traditions I wish that Americans could adopt. But so carols have been huge for them for hundreds of years. And clearly this one is not a traditional one. We could have gone with a traditional one, and there was one that actually almost became the Polish national anthem, a Christmas song. But I thought, let's try a little modern one, because this one is one of the few modern songs that have risen and been accepted by a Polish community. And they, in fact, they kind of like to refer to it as, this is like their Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, this one. It's by this band, Dessau, which is a girls group. And it was founded in 1993. They met just kind of like we were talking about with the K-pop girls. They met on a show in a musical called Metro. They all met. They had a string of successes, put songs out. Then they kind of took some time off, and then they come out of the woodwork with this song in 2000 called it's called Who Knows. It's Suwi is the way you say it in Polish, and some people say, hey, it kind of sounds like the Spice Girls, but I don't know. All I know is I looked at the lyrics, and one of the things they say are, who knows if there is an angel with God around the corner?
So that's sweet. That's very nice.
Yeah. So here's our question. What are your favorite ethnic foods or desserts at the holiday?
That's a really good question. So, you talked about earlier in the giving the facts about, or the some background about the Polish traditions, I was hoping I could, can you name the 12 foods they have?
I don't. In fact, I was going to ask you, I've seen 12, I've seen 7, I've seen, and I know the Italians, and I was going to talk about the Italians, they typically, I've heard, do 7. So there was some of the references I saw did list the 12 foods.
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving you a hard
okay.
time.
Okay.
Yeah, because what's funny about it is when it comes to where I'll go and answer your question is, when I think about the ethnic foods, I think about just how many great Christmas Eve dinners I've had with Sue and her family over the years. One of my favorite parts was the poppy seed roll. And Sue's mom used to make it, the best. Oh. And so, I mean, when it comes to true ethnic, traditional food, I would say, you know, the poppy seed roll served at the end of the dinner with a cup of coffee is just, it's wonderful.
You're making me hungry right now.
It's so good. It's so good.
You know, it's funny that it's both of us are focusing on our wives, because, you know, I knew my wife since high school. And so they always had a huge Italian party of all the cousins on Christmas Eve. And the tradition, when we first started dating, they used to make homemade ravioli. Mm. And again, it was, you weren't supposed to eat meat until midnight, and then they would bring, so you'd actually have like two meals, and it was a huge party. Now it is, what I love is that I didn't have that with my family, but my kids grew up in this environment. It's moved to the Saturday before Christmas because it got just too confusing with all, and they don't, they don't make the raviolis anymore. They buy them. But even when my kids were small, they were still making them. And I remember making them at our house, it was just such a great tradition to see. But so my ethnic foods that I think about, it's like raviolis, Italian sausage, and those Italian Christmas cookies. Like they have the ones with anise in it, those round Italian ones. There's the pizzelles. They even have biscotti, homemade biscotti for the next for Christmas or for coffee the next morning. You know, it's so that mine is all Italian. I think your wife's going to challenge you. She's going to test you on all 12. So next time I see you, you're going to be able to rattle them off all 12.
I could do pretty well if she's listening. I hope she's listening. But I would say, right, there's the fish we talked about. There's the kolala bread, right? Really, I always attribute it to more Yiddish, but I think it's also Polish. There's the vegetable salad. There's the cabbage, and peas.
Peas, I know, was one of them.
Pea soup. Sue makes the best pea soup. I think there was a cheesecake also in there. So I give up. I think I got 7 or 8 of them. But
well, all I know is you've made me incredibly hungry, so we're going to head out to go get ourselves something to eat, something hearty, and probably about 12 dishes, I think. Awesome. But before we go, I do have a quote for you.
Okay.
And Mark, this quote is from Carew Pepperitz, and it is, "I travel to be replenished with beauty, for travel makes the beauty of this world seem like a Christmas that never ends."
I like that.
Beauty of the world.
Yeah, and we're traveling all over the world with reviewing all these movies.
Yes, we are.
So we're beautiful.
And actually, you're glowing.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Mark.
Actually, we're done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.